وليا وحافظا وقاعدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك توعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. صلوات على محمد وآله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. صلاة على محمد وآل محمد. محمد جيل فرج. I'd like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us opportunity and chance to get together here and to listen the ma'arif and the message of Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam. Because not every person who is healthy, who has power, who has car, who has time, he's not going to get tawfiq to come in this place. People, they have time, they have health, they have wealth, they have car, but still they're not coming here because they are not being invited by Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salatu wassalam. And alhamdulillah, you sisters and brothers and sisters are so lucky that you have been invited today and you are here. And in the life that we are spending here, all together, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you look at the life generally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Quran, in the 30th juz, Ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika famulaqih, kadhan famulaqih. That, O person, O human being, O man or woman, O brothers and sisters, Allah is saying the world you are living in, there will be definitely problems in the world. You are struggling toward your Lord, and one day you are going to be meeting your Lord. Means life is full of struggle. It didn't say you are going toward your Lord. It said you are struggling toward your Lord, and you will meet Him one day. So there are all the time, the world is, there are struggles and the problems and the pains and sadness in the world all together. But the problem are there. But how we can deal those problems, how we can tackle those problems. And if you want to see how to tackle problems, we sometimes have the problem of illness, sometimes we have other problem, economical problem, sometimes even have the problem of death. We are afraid of death, you know, we can't do anything, it's unavoidable, it's unavoidable, definitely one day we will die. So these are all problems in the eyes, in our eyes. But if you look at the great leaders, Ahlul Bayt, these problems are not problems in their eyes. Rather, sometimes the problems are changed into chances in their life. They change the threats into chances. We have to change the threats into chances. This is why Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying that Ali ibn Abi Talib is the one anasa bil wallahi la ibn Abi Talib anasa bil mawt min at-tifl bisadi ummihi. We are afraid of death. Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying, I love death more than the suckling baby loves his mother's milk. This is the message of Ali, that death is there, it's unavoidable. Problems are there, it's unavoidable. But Ali loves the death. This is Ali's lifestyle. This is why whenever any problem, most emergency problem was there, Ali was never losing his control. Ali has 100% control on his life. This is the reason once Ali was having the battle. Once in the battle, he was fighting with the enemy with the sword. The enemy says, Ya Ali, I've heard you are a very generous person. Ali says, you've heard right. I've heard that whoever asks you anything from you, you give it to him. Yes, if anybody asks me anything, I give it to him. Now look at this clever and tricky enemy. He says, Ya Ali, I want to ask something from you. Are you going to be giving it to me? Ali ibn Abi Talib says, yes, I will give it to you. The person says, Ya Ali, I want your sword. If you're going to give me your sword, I will be really thankful. Look at the person, he's asking the sword from the warrior. But look at the Ali. Ali was in the pinnacle of generosity. Ali ibn Abi Talib throws his sword toward him, and the person was shocked that a warrior giving me his sword. He says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah Aliun Waliullah. He was turned into Islam. And after the battle, companion of Ali came to Ali. Ya Ali, you gave your sword to this enemy who was very dangerous. Alhamdulillah, he was turned to Islam. But if he didn't turn Muslim, he would have killed you. At that time, Ali ibn Abi Talib says, yes, my sword was in his hand, but his heart was in my hand. I know how to rule over the heart. Ali never rules on the bodies. Ali rules on the heart all the time. We didn't see Mawla Ali. Probably some people might have seen Mawla Ali in their dreams, but the majority, 99% of people, they didn't see Ali. Why we love him? Was Ali handsome? Yes, he was handsome, but we don't love him because he was handsome. Was Ali a very big bodybuilder? He had a very big, good body, but we don't love him because of his body. Why do we love him? Is Ali giving us money? We love him. No, Ali is not giving money. Rather, in some country like Pakistan or Afghanistan, love of Ali threatens your life. But still people love Ali. What's the reason? We don't love Ali because of the beauty. We don't love Ali because of material thing. We love Ali because of Ali's character. Ali's character. This is why the poet is saying, poet says, Ali is king of the skies. Ali is Allah's looking eyes. Ali is the entire faith. Ali is knowledge's gate. Ali is prophet's protector. Ali is a way to creator. Ali is the chief of the religion. Ali is a ticket to heaven's garden. Ali is for all the prophet's helper. Ali is totally paradise holder. Ali is galaxy overcrowded of suns. Ali is Abu Talib's beloved son. Ali is heart of the skies and earth. Ali is Ka'batullah took birth. Ali is manifestation of light of God. Ali consists the whale of Kisao. Ali is most pure worshipper of Allah. Ali calms down the difficulty. Ali is remover of difficulty. Ali calms down the difficulty. Ali brought peace to humanity. Ali made the truth visible. Ali made the nature voice audible. Ali is moonlight of humanity's forehead. Ali donated life to people who were dead. Ali is miracle of God's creation. Ali is value of Allah's affection. Ali is a strong character of modesty. Ali is high feeling of amnesty. Ali is a strong character of modesty. Ali is obedience to beneficent. Ali is after prophet the omniscient. Ali is teacher of moral principle. Ali is highest pinnacle of bravery. Ali is higher than human's mind. Ali seems to be on earth, but he is higher than the skies. These are those great personality that we have bestowed, those great leader. No matter how much we do shukr and thank to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have done less shukr. Because we have that, there's a good scholar saying of good scholar, Ali created one, Allah, so there's a scholar saying Allah created just one Ali, and alhamdulillah that Ali became my master. Ali had just one, Allah had just one Ali, not more than that. Alhamdulillah, that single, that masterpiece of creation of Allah became my master. And I am the lucky one to have such a great leader. So what we should be learning from Ali, nowadays people are suffering from depression, people are having stressed up, you know, people are having problems, they don't know how to face and tackle the problem. Stress is something, depression is the worst killer in the universe. It's said to be, according to the World Health Organization, nowadays second killer after cancer is depression. People are being depressed. We are thinking depression is nothing to do, I'm just getting worried. No, depression is something dangerous. It can kill human being as well. We are not thinking about ourselves. This is why Ali ibn Abi Talib saying, oh man, atazamu annaka jirmun saghir wa fikan tawal alamul akbar. Are you thinking you are a little creator? No, whole entire universe is hidden within you. Think about yourself. And the prophet is saying from other side, man arifa nafsahu faqad arifa rabba. Whoever gets the recognition of himself, he is actually able to get recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why we are depressed, why people are having stressed up, what is the reason? Even there is another new report, they say that depression is much more powerful than diet. How's that? For example, if we are having a very good diet, no, not eating anything dangerous, but still, if you are going to depression, if you are stressed up, we will have a bad health. Even if I'm not eating anything which gives me cholesterol, but because of the all the depression, I might have cholesterol, all these kind of things. Means depression is more powerful than your health and your diet. So how we can tackle this depression? Why people have so many luxurious life? They have car, they have house, everything, food is ready. Everything is ready, they have money, but still they are depressed. What is the reason behind this depression? There are many several reasons, but what is the main reason? Humanity has reached to the dead end. They can't find any way. People are going to the psychiatrist and psychologist so much. What is the reason of their depression? What is the reason? If you want to see, as from Quran, as from Ahlul Bayt, as from Ali ibn Abi Talib, you know the Christmas is about to come. People are doing more suicide in Christmas. Sometimes the suicide rate is going higher in Christmas. While they are going, they are enjoying, they look like happy, they are drinking, they are going to the club, they are doing all these things, but still they are ending up doing suicide. Why? Because Quran is saying, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَى. Whoever will turn away his face from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter how much he tries to enjoy himself, how much he tries to make himself happy, but since you have turned away your face from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never ever get happiness. Because Allah has created us, it's in our nature, it's in our fitrah to worship Him, to find a great power and worship Him. But they are turning away their face from the worship from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are getting depression. The main and root cause of depression is the materialism. The life you have and love of materialistic things is causing depression. You know, I will earn 1 million, I will be happy. No, as from those who have $1 million, are they happy? Are they satisfied? No, they're thinking of the second $1 million. They're thinking of more and more. When we are going in this material life is the cause of all depression. This is why Rasulullah is saying, "Hubb ad-dunya ra'su kulli khatiyya." Love of materialist materials, love of this world is the root cause of every evil. Why, if every evil is happening, it's because of love of dunya, because of material thing. Once Prophet Jesus was going from somewhere, he saw two people are fighting with each other. And Prophet Jesus goes, "What's happening? Why are you fighting?" The first guy was saying, "This land I'm standing on, it belongs to me." Other guy was saying, "Jesus, this land belongs to me." They were not accepting each other's argument. The first is saying, "The land belongs to me." The second is saying, "The land belongs to me. I'm the owner. The land belongs to me. The land belongs to me." Jesus says, "You are saying the land belongs to you. You are saying the land belongs to you. But land is saying some other thing. Land is saying both of these guys belongs to me. They both will come in the grave. The end is come and they will be buried in me. I don't belong them. They actually are, actually, I don't belong them. They belong to me. Our end is the grave." If you think in this way, that this material thing, how we should be living in this world, what should be our style? Islam is not telling you not to earn money. Go earn money. Ali ibn Abi Talib was a millionaire of his time. But what is it, was his lifestyle? He never spent anything for himself. At that time, when Ali ibn Abi Talib was fixing his shoe, Ibn Abbas comes to Ali, and Ali ibn Abi Talib asks from Ibn Abbas, "Oh Ibn Abbas, can you see the shoes of mine? They are all places. I've been fixing it in different parts. What is the value of my shoe in the market?" Ibn Abbas looked at the shoes and he says, "Ya Ali, there is no value of this. Nobody's going to buy. Even if you give it for free, nobody's going to take it because it's so bad. It's gone so old. It's so torn up." Ali ibn Abi Talib says at that time, "Oh people, the world and material thing that you are following in the eyes of Ali ibn Abi Talib is less valuable than these shoes, which you don't think anything. The material things in the eyes of Ali was nothing. Ali was millionaire. Ali used to have many things, but never used to spend on himself. Ali was not attached to the money. Earn money, but don't let yourself attach to it. Attachments are the most dangerous things in the world. How's that? Let me give you an example of attachment. For example, if I put sellotape here on my hand, on this part of my hand, on my palm, where I don't have any hair, and if I pull it, you will see I'm not going to be feel any kind of pain because there is no hair. But if I put a sellotape here where there are different hairs in there, and if I pull the sellotape out of my skin, I will feel the pain. Why? Because hairs are attached. These hairs are example is like attachment of money, attachment of wealth, attachment of kid. When the Malakul Maud, the angel of death, will come and pull our soul, all of these attachment will pull, like the hair will pulling the sellotape. All this attachment of my wife, attachment to my kid, attachment of my job, my bank balance, my property, my house, all of these things should be attaching, which are attached to my heart, will be pulling me toward this world. Earn this world, but don't let it to be attached. Don't let the love of the world enter in your heart. Just flow on the world as ship is flowing on the water. As long as ship is flowing on the water, it's very safe. But if the water of ocean enters the ship will go and drown. In the same, as long as the heart is floating on the money and wealth is good. But as long as the love of money will enter the heart, our heart and iman will drown away. We are not going to have anything. So that if you want to destroy and finish the depression, you know, because in depression, what's happening? There is something great thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is fight and flight mode. For example, when you saw a lion and what you will do, your nervous system and your brain will say either fight or flight, run away. When you will run away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that energy which is already there. If I want to run in that speed in normal life, I will not be able to do it. Because Allah has given us this fight and flight mode. I go in flight mode, I can run so fast that I can never ever run that fast in rest of my life. Why? This is good thing, great thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Why? So we can save our life. The person who is in depression, he's all the time in fight and flight mode. He's all the time destroying his kidney, his liver, his heart, his blood pressure, all these things. Why? Because he's not changing the aspect, the way he's looking at the world. If you want to change the aspect of the world will be totally changed for you. How we can change the aspect of looking at the world? I learn from Hussein ibn Ali. What Hussein is saying, how to look at the world. Hussein is saying, كَأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا لَمْ تَكُنْ وَكَأَنَّ الْآخِرَةَ لَمْ تَزَلْ. Allahu Akbar, great sentence. Imam al-Hussein is saying, as if the world never existed, as if the akhirat is not still finished. What message Imam al-Hussein is giving? As if the world never existed at all, and as if the akhirat is not finished yet. Means Imam is telling us that don't consider yourself in this world, rather consider yourself in hereafter. Same thing what Prophet, peace be upon him, says to his companion. Prophet was sitting with his companion. Prophet says, now I heard a voice of a kafir who felt in the ground of Jahannam, and it took 80 years for him to go and strike the bottom of the hell, till 80 years he was flying in the hell and going all the way down, and after 80 years he strikes the hell and now he's in the hell. Companion thought that probably hell is a big hole, and person when he's being thrown in the hell, it'll take 80 years for a person to go, and after 80 years he'll get in the end. When they thought this, immediately at that time they heard a voice from neighboring house. The neighboring house was house of a kafir. An 80 year old man died there, and his daughter and sons were crying, oh my, our dad died now. And it was at that time they understood the companion of Prophet. Prophet was giving a metaphor, an example. 8 years it took him to go to the hell and strike the bottom of the hell. This 8 years was not really physically flying 8 years. Rather, this 8 years was 8 years of his life span that he was stepping toward the Jahannam. He was going toward the fire of hell. And after 8 years, he entered the Jahannam. So if I'm saying in hereafter my Jannat and Jahannam will be decided, no. Now your Jannat and Jahannam is already been deciding. Think you are in hereafter as if the world never existed. A new concept is given by Hussein, as if the Akhirat never finished. Think yourself, I'm in Sirat, I'm on the pulley Sirat, I'm the bridge which is on top of the hell, and I am walking on it. Either I will go down toward the hell or I'm going toward the Jannat. If you change the aspect of the life, we will have totally different life. We shouldn't be like those people. Like Maulana Rum, he gives a good example in his poetry. He says there was a guy, he went to a village, he found an empty land there. He started making house in the land. And after making the house, he lived there for a few years. And after a while, the owner of the house comes to him and he says to him that this land belongs to me. The house was yours, all right, you built it up, but the land is mine, you have to return me the land. He says, no, the land is mine, all right, the land is yours, but I've invested so much money on it. He said, that's your problem, you didn't ask people before investing. They went to the court and judge says, the house belongs to the person who owns the land, because the land was his, the house is yours, that's right, but you have to give the house to the person who owns the land, because you started investing before doing the research, and you didn't do the research. Now Maulana Rum says, do you know, investing on some other's land, what is that? That's our body. This body is a land. It's not ours. When angel of death will come and say us, let's go back to the hereafter, we are going to be saying, what about my body? I've invested so much on my body. Angel of death will tell us, no, this is investing on some other person's land. You have already invested on some other person's land. You have done the wrong thing. You didn't invest anything on your soul. Whatever we invest on our body, it's good to have a healthy body. It's necessary, wajib. But main investment is investing on our soul. If you didn't invest on our soul, our real property is something. Our real property is not house and bank balance and all these things. Our real property is something which will never ever get separated after the death. And what is not going to be separated after death? Kids will be separated, wives will be separated, sons will be separated, husband will be separated, house and bank balance will be separated. The only things we will have after death is our good action or our bad actions. This is our real property. We should invest on that real property. We should change the aspect of looking at the world. How we are looking at the world, Hussein is teaching us. The world we are living here in, unfortunately, here the concepts are being changed. The concept is very important. That what is your concept about life? What is your concept about yourself? It starts from thinking. This is why Ali ibn Abi Talib is saying, oh man, take care of your, this is beautiful sentence, it should be written by golden in color or by gold, it should be written. What is that? Ali ibn Abi Talib saying, take care of your thoughts. Why? Because your thoughts change into your actions. Take care of your actions. Why? Your actions are changed into your habit. Take care of your habit. Why? Because your habits are changed into your character. Take care of your character. Your character makes your destiny. It all starts from your think, and then think thoughts are changed into action, and after that their actions are changed into habit, and habit is changed into character, and the character is changed into your destiny of your life. If we are not taking care of our thoughts and the concepts which are coming in our minds, we will fail our life. We will not be able to have that life which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. It's wajib to look at our soul. You know, in some verses of Quran, Allah says qasam once, only once, like wal asr. I owe, Allah says, by the time. Or some verses of Quran, some surahs of Quran, Allah takes qasam twice. Where? وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. By the day and by the night. But there is a verse of Quran, Allah takes most of the qasam. Where is that verse? بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَالشَّمْثِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ ذَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. By the moon, by the sun and its noontime brightness. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. By the moon when it follows it. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. By the day and its brightness, when it brightens the earth. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. By the night when it turns every place into darkness. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. By the sky and the power that created it. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. By the earth and the power that spread it. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. By the soul and the power that designed it. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَ and inform the soul evil and good. And after all those qasam and oaths, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful is the one certainly, most definitely, no doubt, certainly and most definitely successful is the one who purifies his soul. And the failure and the wretched is the one, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Wretched is the one who fails to purify his soul. After all this qasam, we believe in Allah, but Allah wants to give us the information. We take qasam in the world, wallah billah, we say all these things, people don't believe in us. We believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but still Allah is taking qasam. Why? To tell us the importance, how important it is to purify your soul. Don't consider that you have been created for the world. Yes, you have been created in the world, but you have been not created for the world. World is something which is less valuable than you. You're not being created for something which is less valuable than you. If somebody starts kissing his shoes, People will laugh at him. Why? Because shoes is less valuable than you. It's created for you. So you should keep the shoes in the feet. You shouldn't be keeping the shoes on your head. Why? Because this is less valuable than you. The world and material things are less valuable than us. Why? Because they have been created for us. So what we are created for, Allah is saying to human being, oh man, I have created the skies for you. I've created the earth for you. I've created the mountain for you. I've created the tree for you. I've created the springs for you. I've created the river for you. I've created the animals for you. I've created the fishes for you. I've created the entire universe for you. But I have created you for me. We have been created for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is more valuable. We are created for something which is more valuable. And Allah is the most valuable one in the planet. And we are created for Him. So the world we are living, as I told you, our concept should be, we should be taking care of the concept of how we are looking at the world. The world we are living here, the concepts are totally changed. Look at the world. You know, nowadays, if a person has a ghairat, if you ghairat, which is part of iman, what they call him? He's a jealousy guy. He's not a social person. He's not letting his wife to mingle with other men because he's a jealousy. While in Islam, we have a concept of ghairah. If you don't have ghairat, you don't have Islam. You don't have iman. Iman is, if you have ghairat, then you have iman. On the other hand, if a girl, she has haya, she's not mingling with men, what they say? They say she's, you know, a bit shy. She will get okay later on. No, brother, shy comes because of lack of confidence. Haya comes because of highness of iman. She has high iman. It's not lack of confidence. There was a friend, he was saying it. He was living in America. He says, once the headmaster of the school invites me and tells me that your daughter has some problem, you know. He said, what's the problem? He said, your doctor has some problem. You should take him to some psychiatrist. He said, what's the problem? Your daughter is not mingling and jumping around with the boys, you know. All the time she's just in the corner probably with the girl or not mingling with the boy. This man smiles in his heart. Alhamdulillah, I was able to give good tarbiyah to my daughter that she has haya and the world is thinking this as a problem, as an illness. The concepts are being changed in the world we are living in. Let me give you how the concept was changed. In the beginning, in the end of 19th century, till the end of 19th century, in Europe, women was not allowed to own anything. Women was not allowed to have possess anything. Everything was possessed by men. Alhamdulillah, in Islam, 14 centuries ago, woman was allowed to own. She was receiving dowry, jahiziyah, mehriyah, and all these things. But up till end of 19th century, in Europe, women were not allowed to possess anything, not allowed to own anything. What happened? In that time, some businessmen, they got together. They made a plan that we should find a way that women should own something. They went to the parliament. They passed the law. They asked the parliament by power, by money, and all these things to pass a law that women should be able to possess and own the money or anything, property. So this law was passed. In the first eye, you might be thinking they served women. Actually, they didn't serve women. Their target and their intention was not serving women. Who were these traders and businessmen? They were owner of the factory. Industrial revolution was coming at that time. They were opening factories and they wanted to cheap labor. That's why they passed a law so they can get a cheap labor, half price labor, which will be the woman. They misused women so they can get more benefit. Right, why? Then women started working in the companies and the factories. The concept of mass production came in the world. Phenomena of mass production came in the world. When mass production came, so woman was able to help this person, whom this man who had wicked intention, his intention was not serve woman, his intention was to get more benefit for his business. He was able to take woman in mass production's level. And next level, when mass production starts, so you need mass consumption as well. You need some people using your product as well. Then again, they use woman's beauty. They use woman's sexuality to be displayed in front of men. Unfortunately, this zulm and oppression is continued up till now. Whenever they want to sell some product, they use woman. Woman's not woman's intellect, not woman's power, not woman's ability. They use woman's body and woman's beauty. And that is the second thing. In mass production, woman was oppressed. In mass conception, woman is also oppressed. Means all the concept of haya, of ghaira, of family life was changed. Why?
because of materialistic finger, because of the money that businessman wanted to earn, because of the factory owner who wanted to earn money. But what Islam is telling you, Islam is saying you don't be the consumer, don't be the extreme consumer. Islam is telling you don't follow the consumerism method. Rather, look at the life of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Ali ibn Abi Talib was the one who was the person who used to help people so much, who used to help widows so much, who used to dig wells, and after digging the wells, he used to name them on the orphans and on the poor. And look at the life of Ali. Ali was sitting on the pulpit and giving the sermon, and he was shaking his hands left to right. A little kid asked from his father, "My dad, why Ali is shaking his hand like right to left?" He says, Ali has just two shirts from this world, and today Ali washed both of his shirts, and both were wet and they were not dried. Namaz time came, Jum'ah time came. Ali is wearing a shirt which is still dry and a bit wet as well. Ali is shaking his hand to dry that sleeves of him. Means Ali's life is this. Ali was the person who has the most production and least consumption. This was the life of Ali. We should be like Ali, that have the most production. Ali was helping, digging the well, helping poor, helping widows. This was Ali's productions. But consumption was Ali's dry bread of oat. That was Ali's consumption. Ali had... Muhammad, wa'ajjil farid. Wow. This was Ali's life, to produce most and to consume the least. You know, these companies, they want to sell every day, every year, a new model is there in the market. Even if your model is very new, they tell you, no, you have to buy the new one because we have to run our factories and our companies as well. So they actually convince people to buy the new thing while still the old thing is working. Why? Because the world we are living here, they are totally changing the concepts of things, that how we should be looking at the things. When the concepts are changed, our iman is also changed, our faith is also changed. We are like a person who is addicted. What's the difference between a normal person and an addicted person? A person who gets addicted, he in his life there is a fake reality appears. And that fake reality goes so extreme that fake reality actually replaced the real reality as well. A fake necessity comes in the life, and that fake necessity replaces the real necessity. How's that? For example, if a person is addicted to drug or marijuana or whatever, if you ask him, do you want food or drug? Obviously, he's going to say drug. Why? While food is real necessity of human being, and the drug is fake necessity. The fake necessity have gone to the extreme that the fake necessity is replacing the real necessities of the life. Remove all those fake necessities from your life. We are addicted to the world so much, to the material things so much. We ending up being busy in the material things so much that we can't even give 5 minutes to the imam of our time, to the 12th imam. In the 24 hours, we can't even give 5 minutes to the imam of the time, because of whom we are eating, because of whom we are living, because of whom we are drinking, because of whom the world is existing, because of whom the moons and the stars are there, because of whom the sun is there. If Wali Khuda would not be on the planet, on the earth would be destroyed. We live on because of him, but we forget him. Why? Because we are addicted in the materialistic busy life. The materialistic busy life has caused us to get this addiction. We should remove this addiction from our life. This is the worst addiction man can have, human can have in his life. How we can remove this addiction? You know, there's a narration saying, you know, when somebody told Harun al-Rashid, you know, there's an old guy who claims that he saw Prophet as well. And Harun al-Rashid was surprised, you know, in the time of sixth imam, there's a person is still alive who saw Rasulullah by his eyes and he heard some ahadith from Rasulullah. Harun al-Rashid says, come on, bring that guy. The guy was very old and people were carrying him, and they brought him to Harun al-Rashid.
Harun Rashid looked at him and he said, MashaAllah, you saw Prophet. He said, yes. Do you remember any hadith from Prophet? He says, I was a very small kid. I remember just few hadiths from the Prophet. Harun Rashid said, can you tell me some of the hadiths? He said, yes, I can tell you one of the hadiths that I heard from Prophet, peace be upon him, that when you get old, two qualities of yours get young. Number one, your greed gets young. And second thing, your long wishes get young. Harun Rashid became happy and he gave him a bag of money and he says, okay, Khuda Hafiz, see you later. The old man was carried by some people and he comes out of the palace. The old man said, please take me back to Harun Rashid again. The old man was brought to the Harun Rashid again and he says to Harun Rashid, can you please give me another bag of money as well? Harun Rashid says, Rasulullah was really right. When you get old, your greed becomes young. Your long wishes will get young. You are old, you might be dying within 1 week, but still you are greedy. So these wishes and these greediness in our life, yes, this is not for every single old person. It's for that old person who is not doing tarbiyah, who is not purifying his heart. It's not for every person. If I don't purify my heart, definitely I will get this habit. But if I purify my heart, I will be saved from greed in the old age. I will be giving in the name of Ahlul Bayt and in the name of Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So we have those great people who follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those great ulama, those great urafa, who had the extreme love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their life. They didn't ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala money and wealth and materialistic thing. Rather, Allah gave them something which is more powerful than materialistic things. What are these? Allah gave Himself to them. There were some great people that they got Allah. When they got the Creator, they're not going to look for the creations. When they have the love of Creator in their hearts, like Muqaddas Ardabili, he was such a great guy. When he used to put the well for water, and he used to pull the well to drink water, he used to see the treasures and the diamonds and the golds are there. He used to throw the gold back in the well and he used to say, oh well, Muqaddas never needs the gold and money. Muqaddas wants to drink water. These are those great personalities. Allah gave His love to them. And wish we can learn from them. How we can learn from them. Look at Sayyid ibn Taus. Sayyid ibn Taus writes in his will to his son, oh my son, if Allah gives me entire money and the wealth of my, all the wealth, if Allah puts the entire wealth of the world on my right hand, I will reject it in a way my left hand would not realize it. I will reject it in a way that my even left hand would not understand. What did I do? Who were these people? They didn't got the materialistic thing. They got higher. What was that? They got Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why in Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah is saying, La yasi'uni ardi wa la samai, bal yasi'uni qalbu abdi al-mu'min. I don't live in the skies. I don't live in the earth. Allah is saying, I don't live in the mountains. I don't live in the forest. I live in the heart of the believer. And this is the reason in another hadith al-Qudsi, Allah is saying, Man, beautiful hadith, Man talabani wajadani, Man wajadani ahabbani, Man wajadani arifani, Man arifani ahabbani, Man ahabbani ashiqani, Wa man ashiqani ashiqtuhu, Wa man ashiqtuhu qataltuhu, Wa man qataltuhu wa anadiyatuhu. Allah is saying, whoever searches for me, he finds me. And whoever finds me, he gets my recognition. And whoever gets my recognition, he gets my love in his heart. And whoever gets my love in his heart, he becomes my ashiq, the extreme. Love means he becomes my ashiq, and whoever becomes my ashiq, I become his ashiq as well. And whoever I become his ashiq, I kill him. And whoever I kill him, I give him penalty. And whoever I give him penalty, I am the one who is his penalty. I am his penalty. I give myself to him. I kill him in my love. And after that, I give the penalty and kuffara, and me, I am his kuffara for him. I am all the time with him. And if we get that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like a simple person who was going to the haram of Imam al-Hussein, and a scholar told him, when you look at the zariyah of Imam al-Hussein, there are three hajat. If you wish three hajat, you will get it. This, when he heard this from a scholar, he went there, and other people in the caravan, they did the hajat as well. When they came out of the haram, they were sharing the thing. What did you ask? From some of them saying, I asked from my mom, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a money. Other was saying, give me business, give me all these things. And this simple man comes forward. They asked him, what did you ask? He said, I asked from the Imam Hussein the first hajat. Oh, Hussein, I want you. Second hajat, Hussein, I want you. Third hajat, oh, Hussein, I want you. People were saying, oh my God, you wasted three hajat. At least you could have said in the first one, oh, Hussein, I want you. And the last two, you could have asked some other things. But there was a wise man standing there. He says, no, he's the most clever person. When you get Hussein, you get everything in the planet. When you have 100, you have the 99, you have the 80, you have the 50, you have the 30, you have entire thing. When you have Hussein, you have everything in there. Yo, Ali Madani. If we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love in our heart, then we have everything in the planet. We don't need anything in the world, because Allah's love is in there. Allah's love is the most important thing. This is why in Sahifa Sajjadiya, Imam's dua is saying, Ya Allah, ij'al ghinaya fi nafsi. Oh Allah, make me wealthy, but not from outside, from inside. There are people who are wealthy from outside. They have bank balance, they have money, but from inside, they are the worst beggar. They are the poorest person. They are not needless from inside. Oh Allah, make me needless from inside. When I am needless from inside, if I have some wealth from outside, I will give it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will not fear before giving khums that, oh my God, 20% of money is a lot. Why? Because he's wealthy from inside. But people are very billionaire, but they are poor from inside. Ya Allah, ij'al ghinaya fi nafsi. Make me needless, but from inside. This is the best dua we can ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the end, I just want to mention the story of Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ibrahim as an immigrant, not a traveler. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran says, Ibrahim, the term is used, Ibrahim was muhajir toward Allah. Muhajir means immigrant toward Allah. He didn't mention Ibrahim was a traveler toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the difference between immigrant and a traveler? For example, I'm a traveler. I came from a place, I will go back. But you all are immigrant. You came from a place, but you are not going to go back from the place where you came from. This is the difference between immigrant and traveler, muhajir and musafir. Ibrahim was considered to be muhajir ilallah, immigrant toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be the traveler, because traveler is the one who comes out of the house. If there's any problem, he quickly goes back to his house because his house is there. But when immigrants comes out of the house, no matter so many problems I will face, I will go and achieve my target. When you are stepping for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the right path, no matter what problems are there, I will face it. This is the reason when Ibrahim was being thrown into the fire of hell, fire of Nimrud, at that time Jibreel comes to the Ibrahim. Oh Ibrahim, alaka haja, do you have any wish? Look at this, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests his beloved creature, beloved the prophets and messenger. Alaka haja, do you have any wish? Ibrahim says, ilayka fala, to you, no, I don't have any wish. Amma ila Rabbi, fa ilmuhu bihali, fa hasbi an su'ali. I don't have any wish to you, but toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, I have wish. But why should I ask? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what I wish from him. Ibrahim, in that dangerous situation, he's not saying, oh Allah, help me, oh Allah, help me. He has a strong belief. That's why Allah calls Ibrahim as an immigrant in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to see the difference between immigrants and the traveler, just in the end of the story, to understand the difference between these two, there was a person, actually he was climbing the mountain in the dark night. It was very dark, and he was doing the mountain climbing, and suddenly his foot slipped, and he went all the way down. Fortunately, the rope was there. He was dangling in the rope in the dark night. He had no idea how far is the land. At that time he calls Allah, oh God, help me. Allah said, do you want my help? Yes, Allah, I want your help. I don't know. Allah said, if you want my help, take out a knife from your pocket and cut the rope. He says, Ya Allah, I'm asking help from you and you are trying to kill me. I'm going to die if I cut the rope. Allah said, that's my way. That's how I can help you. And he didn't accept what Allah was saying. Next day, it came in the newspaper, a person, dead body, was dangling with the rope just 1 meter away from the ground. He was just 1 meter away from the ground. He didn't accept what Allah was saying. Why? Because he was a traveler. He was not an immigrant. He was just musafir. He was not a muhajir. And Hussein was an immigrant in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hussein came to Karbala and he was saddled there forever. He was an immigrant. We call Safar-e-Karbala. It's okay to call it, but actually it's a Hijrat-e-Karbala. It's actually, we are saying, migrated from Medina to Karbala. And this is the way Hussein taught us. No matter so many problems we face, we should be helping ourselves with Hussein. All the people are coming and asking us what we can do for our kids' tarbiyah. There are many things, environmental factor. But there's one great factor that I believe in. Don't miss this factor if you want your generation to walk on this path. What is that? Ulama, they say if you want your kids to be religious, try to take them at least once or two or three in 3 years or in 2 years or every year to Karbala. If you can do it every year, that's very good. At least once in a 2 year, at least three once in a 3 year. The best and ideal one is take them every year to Karbala. Our roots are there. Our main love and our affection is there. If you take your kids, definitely Hussein will help your kids to be faithful, to stay on the religion. Why? Because as a scholar, he says, a person came to me and he says to me that, Maulana, my brother is very, very bad guy. He drinks, he's doing adultery, he does all those crimes and bad things. No respect for anybody, swears toward people, sometimes steal and thief, all these things. He had all those bad character. I tried him to guide him, but he's not being guided. What can I do? And he eats haram as well. He never prays and all these things, he told him. Scholar says, the way you are saying, it's very hard to guide your poor brother because he's not praying. If namaz was there, there was a chance that he can be guided. And second thing, he's eating haram as well. If he was not eating haram, there was a chance to guide him. But because of these main two factor and other factor, even if you bring this brother of yours to me, I'll not be able to guide him. So he said, Maulana, what should I do? He said, I can tell you a formula. Go to Karbala and take your brother with yourselves as well. Maybe Imam Hussein will guide him. This man says, I went with my brother to Karbala and we were going. And in the way he was using in the bus when we were going from Iran to Karbala, he was using the same bad language as he used to do. It was routine life. We got to Karbala, it was almost the same. When we get to near Haram, he was a bit changed, but still he was not crying. He was just a simple mood. When he entered the Haram, his mood was changing. When he looked at the dhari of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, now he was not crying, he was extremely shouting and saying, Ya Hussein, he holds my hand and he says, brother, I promise you in front of Hussein's dhari, I'm not going to do sin again. Hussein has chained me and made me horror. I'm not going to do these sins again. Just one ziyarah, he was chained. Hussein is the one who can change our sons and daughters, who can change us, who can strengthen our iman and faith. This is why when Hussein was born, Prophet, peace be upon him, was crying. Lady Fatima Zahra comes to his father and says, my dad, why are you crying? Imam al-Hussein is born, you are crying. Rasulullah says, oh Fatima, I can see this Hussein is being killed, thirsty and hungry. After 3 days in the land of Karbala, and he will be left alone. Bibi Zahra says, my Baba Hussein, my dad Hussein, am I going to be alive at that time? Bibi Rasulullah says, no, my daughter, you are not going to be alive there. Then Bibi Fatima says, is Ali going to be alive at that time? No, Ali is not going to be alive at that time. Are you going to be alive at that time? No, I'm not going to be alive at that time. Is Hassan going to be alive at that time? No. Then Lady Fatima was worried and says, my dad, who is going to cry for my son Hussein? And Rasulullah says, Fatima, don't worry. Allah will create a nation which will get together. Their men will cry for Hussein. Their women will cry for Zainab. Allah, Allah. Thank you, Allah, you made me that lucky nation that cry and shed tear for Hussein. Allah, Allah, these are the nights we cry on Ahlul Bayt. When this caravan came to Medina, Bibi Zainab goes to whom? To Ummul Baneen, who was the mother of Abbas. Ummul Baneen was holding a stick and coming toward Zainab. Bibi Zainab was there, Imam Sajjad was there. Ummul Baneen asked Imam Sajjad, "My son Sajjad, what are the news of my Hussein?" Imam Sajjad says, "My mother Ummul Baneen, your son Abbas has shown so much loyalty." Bibi Ummul Baneen says, "No, my Sajjad, I'm not talking about Abbas. Tell me, what are the news of my Hussein?" Imam Sajjad says again, "Your son showed extreme loyalty." Bibi Ummul Baneen says, "Sajjad, I'm asking about the son of Fatima Zahra, and you are telling me about the son of servant of Fatima Zahra. Tell me, where is son of Zahra?" It was at that time, Imam Sajjad says, "My mother Ummul Baneen, I was ill, I have no idea, but the only thing I know, last time when my father Hussein got to Zuljannah, my auntie Zainab helped him to get over Zuljannah." When Ummul Baneen heard this, her stick fell from her hands started shivering. She turned toward Najaf and he says, "Ya Ali, you used to be proud on Abbas, but Abbas left Hussein." When Zainab heard this, she came forward and he said, "No, no, my mother Ummul Baneen, don't say anything wrong to Abbas. When I helped Hussein to get on Zuljannah, Abbas, both hands were separate. Abbas was not alive at that time." This is the reason, after the incident of Karbala, this lady Ummul Baneen, she used to cry in such a painful way that bad people, is those people, heartless people like Marwan, they used to listen the words of this Bibi and they used to cry as well. What were his words and sentences? She used to go in Jannatul Baqi. She used to make on the ground, she used to draw four graves because she lost four sons of her in Karbala. She makes four graves in Jannatul Baqi and she says, "These are the four graves of my son." And then she makes another grave on the ground on the sun and she says, "This is the grave of Hussein. Oh my son, I'm not gonna cry for you because your mother is still alive. Hussein's mother is not alive. I am gonna cry for Hussein." Lady Ummul Baneen used to say, "Oh Abbas, when I hear people say that your hands were separated, I never believe in them. But when I hear people saying Sakina was slapped on her face, at that time I believe, yes, my son was dead. If Abbas was alive, nobody would be able to slap Sakina. Oh Abbas, when I hear people saying your hands were separated, I don't believe in them. But when I listen them saying Zainab's veil was snatched over head, then I believe, yes, my Abbas was already killed at that time." These are all the tragedies of Ahlul Bayt they face when they return back to Medina. Let's say together, salam to our Imam. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah.
السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوسيئين السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة النساء العالمين.
Say it together loudly. I don't know, we don't know. Is this our chehellum, last chehellum of our life? Or we will get another chehellum or not? Say it together.
Assalamu alaikum. حسين وعلى علي ابن وعلى أولاد وعلى أصحاب سلام هو تري علی زین العابدین پر یہ وہ قیدی امام ہے جس نے ہر موڑ پہ صبر کیا راوی کہتا ہے میں ایک زندان شام کے قریب سے گزر رہا تھا میں نے ایک عجیب منظر دیکھا ایک قیدی ہے جس کے گلے میں رسی بندی ہوئی ہے جب قیدی کمر کو سیدھی کرنے چاہتا ہے یا باقر کی آواز آتی ہے بابا رسی بہت چھوٹی ہے میرا گلا دبتا ہے معاف کیجئے گا میری وجہ سے آپ کی کمر جھکی ہوئی رہنی پڑ رہی ہے یہ شخص جاتا ہے قیدی کے قریب کہتا ہے السلام علیک ایوہ الاسیر اے قیدی تجھ پہ میرے لاکھوں سلام امام سجاد کہتے ہیں ذرا پھر سے مجھے سلام تو کر کہتا ہے اے قیدی تم پہ پھر سے سلام مولا کہتے ہیں ذرا پھر سے مجھے سلام کر کہتا ہے پھر سے اے قیدی تجھ پہ سلام جب مولا چوتھی مرتبہ کہتے ہیں یہ راوی کہتا ہے اے قیدی کیا تجھے کسی نے سلام نہیں کیا ہائے امام کی مظلومیت امام نے کہا ہم تو وہ ہیں جنہیں خدا بھی درود و سلام بھیجتا ہے مگر کربلا سے کوفہ کوفے سے شام کسی نے مجھے لائق سلام نہیں سمجھا عزاداروں یہ راوی جاتا ہے اپنے گھر اپنی بیوی سے کہتا ہے اے بیوی میں نے اتنے مظلوم قیدی دیکھے ہیں کہ زندگی میں میں نے ایسے مظلوم قیدی نہیں دیکھے بیوی سے کہتا ہے تمہارے چاند کی پہلی رات ہو تمہارے چاند کی پہلی رات صدقہ دیا کرتی ہو اللہ اللہ سعادات پہ کیا دن آ گئے لوگ صدقے کا کھانا لے کر آ رہے ہیں کہاں تم صدقہ دیا کرتی ہو ذرا صدقے کا کھانا لے چلیں ان قیدیوں کو کھلا دیں بیوی کہتی ہے تم پہلے اپنا کھانا کھا لو پھر کھانا لے کے جانا کہا نہیں نہیں میں نے جو درد بھرا منظر دیکھا میں کھانا نہیں کھا سکتا میں نے ایک چار برس کی بچی دیکھی شاید اس کا کوئی چچا مارا گیا ہے کبھی کہتی ہے چچا عباس قسم لے لے پانی نہیں مانگوں گی اس کا کوئی بھائی بھی مارا گیا ہے کبھی کہتی ہے بھائیا علی اکبر آ میرے نیلے نشان دیکھ لے कहता है अभी खाना लेके चलते हैं। ये बीवी कहती है अगर ऐसी बात है तो मैं भी साथ चलती हूँ। ये मोमिना आती है जिंदान में पहुंच के कहती है ऐ बीबियो तुम्हारी सरदार बीबी कौन है। सारी बीबियां बीबी ज़ैनब की तरफ इशारा करती हैं। ये मोमिना खाना ला के बीबी ज़ैनब के सामने रखती है। बीबी ज़ैनब से कहती है बीबी खुद भी खाना खा ले अपने बच्चों को खिला दे। बीबी ज़ैनब पूछती है बीबी ये कैसा खाना है। ये मोमिना कहती है बीबी ये सदके का खाना है। ज़ैनब फरमाती है हम सदके का खाना नहीं खाते। अल्लाह अल्लाह मोमिनो आजादारो अल्लाह तुम्हें कोई गम न दे सिवाय गमे उसे। ये मोमिना कहती है बीबी ये किसी मामूली शख्स का सदका नहीं ये इमाम हुसैन का सदका है। जैसे हुसैन का नाम आया जिंदान के कोनों में बैठे हुए बच्चे रोने लगे हाय हुसैन हाय मजलूम हुसैन। ये मोमिना ने समझी। बीबी ज़ैनब ने कहा हुसैन का सदका क्यों देती हो। ये कहती है बीबी हम कूफे में रहते थे मौला अली की हुकूमत का जमाना था मेरी माँ भी उधर रहती थी। मेरी माँ ने हजरत बीबी ज़ैनब के पास आई कहा अल्लाह ने मुझे 10 बेटे तो दिए हैं दुआ कर दीजिए अल्लाह मुझे एक बेटी दे दे। और बीबी ने दुआ की और मैं पैदा हो गई। अब ये मोमिना बीबी ज़ैनब से कहती है ऐ कैदी बीबी मैं ज़ैनब की दुआ का असर हूं। जैसे आप सुन रहे हैं और रो रहे हैं बीबी ज़ैनब भी सुनती जाती रोती चली जाती। ए बीबी मैं पैदा हो गई फिर मैं बीमार रहने लगी। मेरी माँ मुझे फिर से बीबी ज़ैनब के पास ले गई कहा ए बीबी आपकी दुआओं से अल्लाह ने हमें बच्ची दी मगर ये बच्ची बीमार रहती है। उस वक्त बीबी ज़ैनब ने कहा हर चांद की पहली रात हुसैन का सदका दिया करो। मेरी माँ भी किया करती थी मैं भी किया करती हूँ। अब एक मरतबा बीबी ज़ैनब ने कहा ऐ मोमिना सदका देना छोड़ दो सदके के दिन गुजर गए सदके देने के मौसम गुजर गए। मोमिना जलाल में आके कहती है ऐ बीबी अगर खाना नहीं खाना तो खाना नहीं खाओ मगर मेरे हुसैन को बद्दुआ न दे। अल्लाह मेरे हुसैन को कासिम के साथ सलामत रखे। अल्लाह मेरे हुसैन को अकबर के साथ आबाद रखे। अल्लाह मेरे हुसैन को अब्बास के साथ सलामत रखे। अब एक मरतबा जैसे अब्बास का नाम आया एक 4 बरस की बच्ची रोती हुई खड़ी हो गई ओ चचा अब्बास कहाँ है मेरे चचा अब्बास। अब मोमिना घबरा गई कहा ए बीबी ये बच्ची कौन है जो हो अब्बास को चचा कह रही है। बीबी ज़ैनब ने कहा ये हुसैन की बेटी अब्बास की भतीजी है। कहा है बीबी ये बच्ची जिसका कुर्ता जला हुआ है जिसके कान जख्मी है। अब ये औरत 2 कदम पीछे हटी कहा आए बीबी अगर ये अब्बास की भतीजी है तुझे तेरे रब की कसम बता तू कौन है। आए बीबी ज़ैनब क्या कहे मैं वही हूँ जिसके सदके में तुम पैदा हुए। आना ज़ैनब बिन्त अली।
अल्लाह लानतुल्लाह वसे यालम अल्लज़ीन ज़लमू।